What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbliss, and I'm super excited today. It's going to be a great episode. It was a great day overall. And to cap off this great day, I get to welcome in a songwriter who has who's done it all. You've probably heard his songs everywhere. Bryce Long. But he's got hits with John Party, Garth Brooks, Randy Houser, Casey James, George Strait. So many. We're going to jump into all that. Cody Johnson. It's unbelievable. Bryce, dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me today. I appreciate it. I'm excited to get to talk to you a little bit and pick your brain and talk about some great music. How are you?
Oh man, I'm good, Kyle. Thank you for having me, buddy. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm glad. You never know. You never know these days, because sometimes people say yes and they're like, I don't know. And you know what's funny is I always get the because I'm from Northern New Jersey, and I always get the Northern New Jersey, like, what do you know about country music, right? And I'm just like, Just give me a chance. I might surprise you.
Oh yeah.
So you never know. Yeah. You never
There's lots of country fans up in your neck of the woods, man.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
It's country fans.
And you're totally right. And it's funny because so where I live, we don't have a country radio station anymore, like a local station. We used to have a station that came from New York City and New York and, you know, that upper area, right, and us as well. And we don't have that anymore. So I always talk about the fact that what I think is, you know, why I love doing this is I hope that, you know, I have friends and colleagues and whoever else, and, you know, they listen and say, hey, like, I'm not really, like, I don't listen to country radio anymore, right? Cause there's no country radio, but who should I listen to? And I give them names. Right. So I think that's really cool. And there's a ton of people who love country music up here. I mean, just go to some of the shows, you'll see it shows out, but you're totally right. And I think it's so funny, but, that's, you know, nor here nor there, but, I just want to get into a little bit about you. You know, like I said, some of your accolades there, you've had some pretty big songs, Heartache on the Dance Floor, Anything Goes, Like a Cowboy. One of my favorite songs, Where Cowboys Are King, Cody Johnson. Kind of just give everyone a little bit of a quick backstory about you, and then we'll dive into the rest of the good stuff.
Well, Kyle, I've been here, you know, in Nashville 30 years this year. I moved down here in 93 from Kentucky.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man, it's been good. I grew up, you know, on a farming kind of ranching deal up in Kentucky. My folks, we raised a lot of tobacco, had a lot of cattle, that kind of thing. And I love, you know, everything cowboy. So that part of it was easy for me to write those songs like a Cowboy or Where Cowboys Are King, the song you talked about with Cody, that Cody did. Yeah, man, I mean, I've been very blessed, you know. I've been here 30 years and been able to make a living doing this. I still love it as much as I ever did. I love writing songs. I do it every day. And now I've been playing a lot, man. Again, I had a couple record deals early on in my career, and neither one of those worked out great, but the songwriting part of it kind of took off, and it's been something I've always loved to do. And that has given me opportunity to go play a lot and play the songs that people know. You know, they get to hear the story behind the song, and they get to hear me sing those songs that they've heard on the radio or they've heard on the records of their favorite artist. And along with some of my best friends, you know, I get to play a lot of shows with a lot of other great writers and artists alike. So, yeah, I mean, that's just a quick kind of, you know, little bit of background, I love it, man. I love country music. I've always loved country music. Story songs, heartbreak songs, that kind of stuff brought me to town. I loved, so many of my favorite artists from George Strait to Gary Stewart to Gene Watson to Elvis and Al Green. And I mean, it's just, there was just so much, honesty and in their music and of all genres, really. But I love I just love the songs. I love sad songs, to be honest with you. I really do. I love songs that for some reason I've always been drawn to those, and they, you know, oddly enough to say, they make me happy.
You took my line. I'm a pure believer in sad songs make me happy, and it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Kyle, for sure.
It's crazy. I mean, for some people it's crazy, but I genuinely, like when I listen to a sad song that really hits, I smile. I smile.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're right. Like the biggest part about country music and you know, a lot of some people don't understand this, but the best parts about it are those stories that cut, right? That cut through and that shine
Yes.
through.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
that is easily hands down, which is what makes a great country song. And that's why I fell in love with it. That's why you fell in love with it. That's why all these people every day who write songs for a living or write songs to try and make a living, that's why they
Sure.
do it, right? For the stories that cut through. And it's cool to see as a guy who's been there for 30 years, and that's still the case.
It's life. I mean, it's, unfortunately, if you live long enough, heartbreak is something you're going to have, and ups and downs, and it's just life. And those songs, everybody feels them, and I think that's why people gravitate to them so much. Now, there's a lot of, cool up tempo party songs and stuff like that I love as well. But I've always been drawn to the story songs that, that say something or tell a story or have a little heartbreak in them, or always the ones that they were my go-to, if I was riding around on a weekend night or something. It was it was the Keith Whitleys, it was the George Straits, it was the Clint Blacks back then, it was the Vince Gills, it was those kind of songs that I love, the Hank Jr., the Merle Haggards, the real country music. And
And those are still the songs that I listen to every day, my friend.
I understand that, Kyle, because you love country music, and that's, those songs are, they'll be around forever. There's so much of the music today that I mean, and I'm still in it. I love writing songs. So I find that a lot of times, when a great song hits or a great song comes out, it shines in our business, because there's a lot of the same old stuff out there. I guess that's the only way to say it. It's covered a lot of the same, subject matter for quite a while now. And when a song like House That Built Me, I mean, let's just take that. Everybody loves that song. Everybody knows how great it is, how well it was written. A song like that comes out, there's no wonder why it, received all the accolades it did, and everybody, set everybody up on their ear a little bit, because it stood out. But it was so well written, and that was a testament to Alan and Tom, just the fact of how great a songwriters they are, and will always be. And a song like that, man, when it comes along, you take notice.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And it's interesting that you bring up that point, because like you said, like you credit all that to the songwriters, and you're right. In a world where everything kind of sounds a little bit oversaturated, when you get that gold piece, it really pushes through. And I could not agree more. Now, my question here is, like, you've been doing this for a while, 30 years ago, right? When there was a lot of really, really good stuff, and it was a little bit different. How much harder was it for you to write a song to let it push through, right? Because there was, obviously, 30 years ago, there was guys that were pumping out songs that would just get lost on records because there was no streaming, right? Like you wouldn't hear of them unless
Right.
you bought the actual record. So
Right.
is there a difficulty factor of that you had to adjust to? And maybe it's harder now because of the fact that it's harder to get that song that pushes through. I don't know, but that's,
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's always been hard. It's a business that's tough. It's a business of gatekeepers, or whatever you want to call them. Somebody loves a song, somebody doesn't think it's that great. Well, what does the artist think? What does the producer think? Well, they're not sure it's going to make the record. I don't, I mean, it's the business. I mean, it's a business we're in, and the ups and downs come. And in all honesty, in the 90s, and it's just, maybe it's just because I love the music so much of those years. In all honesty, I feel like the songs were better. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. I just felt like, as a country, genre, I felt like the songs were better then. And that's just my opinion. And it doesn't mean that there's not great songs today. I'm not saying that. But as a whole, the bar was really high. You take a man, you take a George record or a Garth record back then, or Vince or Trisha Yearwood or Reba, or I mean, you could just go down through there, and you know, there were so many great songwriters vying for those 10 spots on a record. It wasn't 18, 20, 30 songs on a record coming out now. So, you know, when people were writers were writing, they didn't have the opportunity to write a, you know, to get on those records a song that was okay. I think today there's opportunities for songs that are good to be all over records. But back then it was, you know, it was 10, you know, they cut a record every year or so, and there were 10 slots on that record, and everybody in town, when there were a lot more writers then than there are now, they were all trying to get, you know, you're George Strait's coming up and you're trying to get on his record, and you know, you had to fight the likes of Dean Dillon and Donnie Keys and Monty Holmes and Aaron Barker. And I mean, I could just go down through the list of all these great country songwriters that you were trying to, you know, beat out to get on the record. And man, it was tough.
How intimidating is that as a young guy?
Well, it is. It's very intimidating, you know, and, you know, I was young then, and a lot of us were, we were all trying to ride up to that level. And so many of us weren't getting there because, you know, we hadn't been doing as long as those guys had. And they were, you know, they were also some of the most amazing songwriters that ever came to Nashville as well. You know, it was tough. It's still tough. I mean, right. I feel like back then, more often than not, best song won. I mean, I will say that nowadays, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it's very camp driven, and everybody's, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of artist rights and that stuff going on. And back then, I mean, you name those top artists back then, from McGraw to Reba to George to, you know, Trisha, all those. You know, some of the biggest artists we had back then, they didn't write, they cut outside songs. They were looking for great songs, and maybe every now and then they'd be on part of one or something, but it wasn't the whole record.
Right.
And it was just different. I mean, it's a different time, and you know, most all the artists making records today write, you know, and they want their own songs on there, and that's understandable. I'm, you know, I have been, you know, blessed by that, to write with guys like Party and Hauser and some of these guys that I love, that are not only great artists, but they're great songwriters too. And that's the plus of that. When a great artist is also a great songwriter and he gets signed and he can, you know, he can write great songs like Stapleton. I mean, you take Chris, for example. I mean, he's,
Stapleton,
you know,
was unsigned for how many years, right? Like, how many years did he just write until he
became? Oh, yeah. But that was, you know, that was his choice. I mean, Chris didn't want a record deal back then. He had, offered by every label in town, but he just, you know, he didn't take it until he took that deal at Universal. But, you know, had a bunch of number ones and a ton of cuts, and he was doing his thing. I mean, he's a great writer, and you know, the world knows how great an artist and great a singer he is.
Right.
But you know, it changes. It's different. It's different now than it was in the 90s, different now than it was in the 2000s, you know?
Right.
And I mean, it just continues to evolve. But for guys like me, I mean, I still love to do it. And I just find opportunities with artists that I love, you know, sure. To write with them or write for them, and you know, and still getting cuts and still having things happen. And I'm excited about it. I'm, you know, there's a few new artists that I love that I'm really excited about, and hopefully we'll be able to be a part of their career as well, and get some songs written with them or cut on their records. And I, you know, Kyle, I love it, man. I mean, it's still,
and I love to hear that. You know what I mean? I love to hear that, because for me, like, this stuff is so timeless, and you know, I do this a lot. Like, I sit here and I put my time and effort into this product a lot. And you know, there are people that are like, why don't you just take a break? And I'm like, man, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to take a break. I'm okay being tired. Like, I love talking about this stuff, and I love talking to people like you who love it so much. And it's like, it's kind of like if you're an athlete and you hit a home run, right? Like it's an adrenaline that's coming from you to me that I'm like, I mean, this is awesome. Right. So, I love that you still love it. And I think that that's phenomenal. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I've gotten the chance to, and I'm very blessed to say that I've, you know, talked to some really great songwriters, some mm-hmm. you know, guys that have been doing this for a really long time. And you know, it's kind of this thing where, you know, I was told once they were like, man, let's just say he was 55, 6 years old. Let's just say that's where he is, 60 years old. And he said, you have to evolve, right? You have to kind of to open up yourself to these younger artists and writers like you're doing, right? Because eventually, you know, that changeover is going to change, and that same stuff that we did in the 90s might not work now. It might, right? And I'm going to get into that a little bit with you. I think that there's like this full circle moment thing happening here right now. But, but you know, there is some adaptability that you have to go through and figure out. For some guys, I'm sure that's a lot easier than other people. But, you know, for you, you know, you talk about writing with John Party and Randy Houser and those guys. And like, was there a learning curve there? Or, you know, are they just also so mega talented like yourself that it was just easier, that it just made sense?
Well, for those guys, it was cool that our, you know, I mean, we just hit it off. Yeah. I mean, Randy's one of my favorites. You know, we write very well together, and John's the same way. We just hit it off, man. We got a lot of the same interests. We love country music, and we, you know, we just, I don't know. It doesn't happen all the time, Kyle, but it's when it does with those artists and you just connect with them and you have that kind of common bond with them, it sure makes what you do easier and more enjoyable. Yeah, I mean, you know, I enjoy writing with just about every artist I've ever written with, to be honest with you, because we're creating. I mean, when you sit in the room, you're trying your best to help them get across what they want to say, or you know, if it's your idea, you're just trying to facilitate and make sure that they feel a part of it and they want to something they love. And you know, sometimes you hit the mark and sometimes you don't. I mean, sometimes it makes a record, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's the very song that's on the radio and you know, gives them an opportunity to tour for two or three more years on that. I mean, it's a process, and there's so many of us who are all alike, especially been here, you know, like me. I know that you interviewed Steely, didn't you interview Jeff? That guy, I tell you, man, I love him so much and I respect him so much. He's been doing it for so long, and he's one of the best ever. I mean, he just is, and evolving and recreating himself and doing what it takes to stay on the radio and be successful. Jeff's got it, man. Yeah. Steely's the best. He's one of the best for sure. He's so talented and such a good human being. But I've witnessed the other side of it, Kyle. I've witnessed the other side of the writers who get, you know, they just get kind of pissed off at the business. It doesn't go, you know, the music changes and it's like, oh man, it's not country enough. It's not this, it's not that. And they get bitter. And I've seen it. I've watched it happen. And I've watched them as you know, some of them is so talented and that they are, you know, kind of just work themselves out of being successful. And it's not the lack of talent. It's just that, you know, it's that kind of, I don't know. I mean, some of it I think is probably bitter in some ways, but other ways it's just, you know, they're, I don't know, for whatever reason, they don't feel like that they, you know, want to chase it as much or something. I don't know. I just love it. And I you know, as it evolves, and whether I write with an artist that's a pop driven artist or, you know, in my thing, I love country music. So, right. I mean, the countryer they are, the better. I love it. But sure. My job is to create. Right. Help them, you know, whatever we're doing, if we're working on a track that's, you know, more pop than it is country, man, my job is to, you know, facilitate the lyrics and whatever I can help sing a melody a different or something they might like or whatever. But man, every day I'm I got to be honest, man. I love it. I'm so thankful to still be doing it. I'm so thankful to be relevant in it. I'm so thankful for the tips I get.
I mean,
it's, you know, it's, I can't say that enough of just how thankful I am to continue to make music because, man, it's, you know, I've done the other, man. I grew up, man, working hard. And not that this business is easy, because it's not, and it'll wear you out. Like, it'll wear you out in some days more than, you know, putting up hay all day or you know, working cattle or tobacco, whatever. You know, so many people in this business, their other jobs, you know, before they became writers or artists, man, you know, we all have worked, but it's, I just don't know anything else I'd rather do, to be honest with you. And I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful that God's blessed me enough to be able to do this every day, because I don't take it for granted. I can tell you, I don't. Yeah. And I love it so much.
Isn't it crazy that you were just some kid from Kentucky who just loved to play music and loved to listen to music, right? And here you are 30 years later, you know, all these accolades under your belt. You're one of the coolest guys that I've ever got the chance to sit here and meet. Like, you've done so much more, and just like, just even read your catalog, I just smile, because it's just so cool. Right. And, you know, at one point you were just some bushy tailed kid from Kentucky who just, all you ever wanted to do is play country music. Right. And you got that chance and you ran with it. And I think that that's fantastic. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you can't, you know, I'm definitely not the most talented guy or whatever, but I have to attribute that to my dad, man. And he instilled a work ethic in me and my brother, man, that just, you know, there weren't any days we could give up or quit, man. I mean, that wasn't in, you weren't going to be a son of my dad and think that you could quit one day out in the field when it got hot, or that just wasn't even, that wasn't even going to be talked about, much less ever happen. And, you know, the ups and downs of this business, you know, there's days that I mean, I'll be honest with you. There were times when I was like, oh, man, I really, really hope this works out. You know, you'd lose a publishing deal or you'd lose a record deal, or, you know, and you were like, wow, man, is this guy going to cut this song? Is it going to make the record? Is it a chance for it to get on the radio? And, you know, you have those thoughts, but you get up the next day, man, and you dig in, you know, you show up. And you have to show up. You have to show up ready to work. And because you never know that day that the good Lord's going to go, okay, you showed up today, I'm going to give you this song. And it's going to be the song that becomes a number one. And, you know, you came to work today. You showed up, you got out of bed. You didn't lay up and, you know, and say, I don't feel like doing this again or whatever excuses. You went and did it, and you showed up and you put your time in. And, you know, like I said before, I owe all that to just my faith. I think probably more than anything, it's just the drive of believing that, you know, the talent that the good Lord gave me, he wanted me to use it. And I have, you know, honestly been blessed to be able to do it. And I love it.
I think that's great advice for any young songwriter that may be listening or just, you know, is just trying to do it in general. But like, I think that, you know, being able to get up and just do it, even if it takes years, right? Like, if you really love it, you're going to keep doing it no matter what. It's all about repetition. Anything in life is about repetition. The more you do it, the better it's going to get. And the more people will hear it. I mean, that is just how it is. And I think that the advice you just gave about just getting up and going, right? Like, that's so important. There are so many people that get so looped into the 10-year town thing, right? And they start counting their days and they start counting their months and their years. And they say, okay, well, I've been here 11. Why hasn't it happened for me yet? Right. And there are some people that say, I've been here 11 and I'm ready to be here for 11 more. And if that means I'm going to get my first big break, right? Like, and those people are the ones that'll shine through. So I think that that's so important.
And it, you know, Kyle, it happens faster for some people. I mean, I know people have come to town 2 years later, they got a record deal, they're on the radio and they're hit. I mean, you just, you know, you don't know, but I found it interesting in talking to so many different people. Like, I've been blessed to be able to be around some of the top team ropers, bull riders, some of the top athletes in the world. And when I talk to them, even business people, man, some of the top business people who have, you know, run billion dollar companies. And I, you know, every, it seems like every time I talk to them, I ask them, I was like, man, did you ever think you'd be here? And most of them were like, yeah, I kind of thought I'd be here. I just didn't know what the road was going to take. And I, you know, and I said, well, what do you, you know, man, what do you think, guy? And they're all like, man, it's hard work. I showed up every day. You know, I mean, it's hard work. I put in the hours. I practiced. I did, you know, whatever it took. If, you know, if I needed to get an extra job, I got an extra job just so I could stay doing what I love to do. And, you know, when I didn't feel like, you know, roping another steer, we ran 10 more just so I could, you know, get better at what I was doing or whatever that is, you know, working out when, you know, when nobody wanted to run sprints, this guy was running 10 more and he was shooting 100 more shots at the end of the, you know, practice than anybody else. And that's why he, you know, became the athlete or the, you know, person that he did. And I just, man, I got to be honest, in this business, I don't think you can put a price on hard work. I just don't. I think people who grind it out, man, end up being the most successful. I feel that way because every one of these guys that I know that have been extremely successful, writers, artists, pickers, whatever they do, every one of them has a work ethic that's really strong. I mean, I've watched Lainey. I'll just say that for her, man. I met Lainey, you know, wrote a song with her. She cut a song on her first record that she and I and Shane Minor wrote. And I remember meeting her for the first time. And I just, you know, she's beautiful. Number one, you see that when she walks in the room, but when I got to visit with her in that writing room, man, I've come to find out she came from, her dad was a farmer, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was work. She knew how to work. And, and then I watched her in, you know, over the last year and a half, and I'm just like, Lainey, I don't know how you do it. And she said, you know, she said, Bryce, this is what I want to do. This is what I always wanted to do. And I, you know what, if there's somewhere they need me to be at some certain time, I'm their girl. I'm going to do it. I'm going to show up. I'm going to play. I'm going to go do this thing at Yellowstone. I'm going to go play my shows. I'm going to run back and forth and fly all over the place. And she's tough, man. But the reason she's where she's at is because she was willing to put in the hard work, you know, and especially when her time came to shine, she didn't walk away from it. She didn't,
and she was ready.
I'm tired. I can't go do this. She said, bring it on, you know,
and she was ready. So I mean, like she was ready to go.
Absolutely. She, you know, she had fine tuned her craft and she just gets better, man. I heard her sing, you know, the other day we wrote a couple songs together and again about a week ago, and man, just hearing her sing again, it's like, man, she just gets better. And that'll happen, you know, the more you do it, the more you work that muscle, but man, she just gets better and better. And I love it. And I love to watch it.
Yeah. It's incredible. And especially her growth, you know, in the last, like you said, year and a half, like, you know, I think I've been following Lainey for probably 4 years or so. So like, just to see that year and a half growth is really cool because, you know, she is fantastic. And she is this new generation that I hope other songwriters and other just people in general just love. And obviously they are. So that's really cool to see. And you're right. You know, everyone knows the cheesy saying of hard work beats talent, you know, when talent doesn't show up or whatever it is, right? It is true. Like hard work will shine through and you will persevere. And I think that that's really important, even in this business, truthfully, even in this business, I think it's number one, it's incredibly important. Let me ask you, I don't know if you're going to have an answer for this, right? But you know, you have a, you know, Heartache on the Dance Floor. That's the example I'm going to use here. You know, that is a song that a lot of people got introduced to John Party through, right? Like that is the song. There's a handful, but that is one of them, right? You know, you write a song like that. Do you know you have a hit? Be honest. You know you have a hit?
Honestly, yeah, I knew it. You know, the funny thing about that song is John jumped on the bus. I was out, I got asked to go out on the road to write with him. And I was on a bus with Bart Butler, who's another writer on that song. We rode up to, Kansas to meet him. And then he was cause it was early, it was still early in his career. He was still turning off that first record and he hadn't made the second one yet. And
it's a great record.
He was, you know, trying to write songs. I mean, we had What I Can't Put Down off that first record, which was a single.
I love that song. Love
it. Thank you, man. I do too. I wish, you know, that song should have been on the charts bigger than what it was. But what it did for him, it was a huge song for him in his career.
Sure.
It was I think it turned so many listeners on to him. But when we were out writing with him, we met him up there and he came running on the bus and he goes, man, I think I got something. I really think I got something. And I said, what is it? And he sang that, where's she at? Where's she at? Where's she at tonight? Where's she at? Where's she at? Where's she at tonight? And I said, man, I said, John, go do your show and get back on here. I said, we're going to write a hit tonight. I said, that's, you know, you know, we just dug in and he and I, it was so funny. We kind of got started on it and Bart was out doing something else. I don't know. He came running on the bus. He's like, man, I can't believe y'all started on that. I said, well, you better get in here, buddy. we're getting it done. You better get in here. And, no, it all worked out the way it's supposed to. And we really truly knew, we wrote two songs that back to back that night, Heartache on the Dance Floor and All Time High. We wrote both those songs back to back. I had title All Time High as an idea. And after we got through writing Heartache, I kind of threw it out and John just started playing that cool groove of that. And he's so good at those melodies, man. I mean, John Party as a writer staples melodies better than anybody I know. His melodic, where he takes songs and phrasing and stuff for John. I mean, for John specifically, he does it. It's just it's his own thing and he's got it. And we wrote both those songs back to back that night. And I mean, I think we all knew. I mean, in all honesty, we knew that was a hit. We didn't know. We knew he was going to cut it because he loved it. And we didn't know where it was going to land as far as singles went. It was the third one off that record behind, of course, Head Over Boots, which was such a huge song he and Luke wrote. And then Dirt on My Boots and then Heartache and it was it was just the three number ones in a row and he was off to the races, you know. And that California Sunrise record as a whole, Kyle, is still my favorite.
Great record. It's a great record.
That record as a whole, that to me, that record as a whole, song strength and everything else, I think that's the record that really stapled John. Really turned so many fans on to him, and I think it's just, that was just a big record for him. Top to bottom, all those songs were amazing. I loved every one of them on there. And he wrote them, you know, he wrote a lot of them. He cut some outside things. But I mean, you take that, like you take that Head Over Boots song that was just a slam dunk and so country and so cool. And he and Luke did such a great job writing that song. And it just started started the John Party wave. And it's been fun to watch him, man, for a guy who just this past weekend, you know, got asked to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry by Alan Jackson. I mean, it's in his hometown of California out there at Stagecoach. And it was just, it's so cool to see what's happened with him. I met him before he even had his record deal. And you know, he's kind of like my little brother, man. I love it. We're really good friends and I love him dearly and respect him a ton. And I just, I'm just proud of him, man.
A pretty good guy to have in your corner, huh? That's a pretty good guy to have.
Well, he's just a good guy and he's a hard worker and he grew up tough too. His old dad is, you know, he made him work and John is no stranger to work, man. He's a worker. And,
I love it.
I really respect him a lot, not only for his music, but just he's a good friend and I love his family, his wife and his little girl now and his folks, his mom and dad. He's a good one, man.
That's awesome.
He's a real good one.
I love to hear that. You know, what's funny is like, so like what I can't put down, I made a mental note of this when you mentioned that is like, I feel like, so like for me, California Sunrise as a record was a real big soundtrack of my life in that period. But you know, like you said, a few years prior, like that Write You a Song record like came out, right? And I think for me, and this is before I even had this is before you know I developed opinions of this kind of stuff and whatever, but I think the reason why What I Can't Put Down did well in terms of his career, like obviously I would have liked to see it climb a little bit more because I think it's a fantastic song, but I think it did really well because that was kind of the birthing age of everyone more than just like a select few people getting streaming services, right? Like that was kind of around the same time where everyone kind of like, it was either a Spotify or Apple Music thing, and everyone was kind of getting into that realm. Like it took probably another year or so, but everyone had this music at their fingertips.
Right.
And like you could go and find this John Party guy who you may never have heard of, right? And dive right into this record and say, this is pretty cool. And I don't know, maybe that's why that opened up for him so well. But
yeah, I would agree with that too. And I know, you know, I remember being out with him on some of these early, you know, he was playing some festivals and stuff that summer on, and he was, you know, he might play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah,
you know, when the headliners went on at 10 or whatever. And I remember going to those things and watching him and the fans, you know, showing up at 3 o'clock, and it wasn't like it was a huge crowd, but you could tell those fans that were there were diehard fans of John. They sang every song he sang, and they weren't just, you know, they didn't just come to hear one song. I mean, you could tell they were in. They had the Righteous Song record, or they knew every, because you know, he'd play an hour or whatever set, and I just watched them, and they were singing every song. And I was like, man, this guy's building a career. This guy's getting fans. They're not just coming out to hear, you know, Up All Night or whatever. They know it, every song on this record, and they're singing along with it. And it was cool to watch, because I thought, man, he's really connecting. We just got to, you know, continue to try to write some great songs with him. And you know, the town did. I mean, there was some of his go-to writers, you know, stepped up and wrote some great songs with him that you know, have helped him get to where he is. And it's a good thing, man, because John's country. He wants to keep it country. He sounds like nobody else.
He's so different. That's the coolest part about John Party, right? It's like his vocal
extremely different than anybody else.
So different. And his sound in general. And I think that's why, like, you're mentioning the melodies, right? Like, I think that's probably, you know, why he's so good at them, because he is so different and no one can do what he's doing. It's totally
true.
Different. And there's people like that in the industry now that are totally different. Like, he's not just the only one, but what I'm saying is that's why I think that there's so much success there, is because he doesn't sound like the next guy that moves into town, right? You know, when you're listening to a John Party record, that it's John Party, and there's not anyone close. That record's fantastic. What I Can't Put Down, you know, Chasing Them Better Days, What I've Been Drinking, great songs. It's awesome that you're a part of that. I think that's pretty damn cool in my fandom opinion there. So
thank you, Kyle.
So we asked about the song that you wrote that you knew you had a hit. Was there any time that you wrote a song that you thought you had a hit that may not have cracked up, and you still think that should be chart topper, that should have been a chart topper? Or on the contrary, is there any song that you ever wrote that you knew wasn't going to be one, but you were really proud that you wrote it?
Oh yeah. I think there's, you know, all of us probably as writers have hundreds of songs we think should be hits on the radio. I mean, that's, you know, all of them, you know, we write. But yeah, I mean, there's songs that I still feel like are huge hits that, you know, haven't been cut yet. And it, you know, I mean, you just never know. Like, Nothing On But The Radio, I mean, that song took 5.5 years to get out there.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, just unfortunately it, you know, was on hold for different artists and they didn't cut it. And then I had a record deal and wanted to cut it and didn't get to. And then, you know, thank God Gary cut it and put it out. I have always been a writer who loves to write for the idea in the room. I don't look at it like, hey, we're trying to write this song today to get on radio. If, you know, I think there's a commercial part of all of us that want to write a song, you know, in a way that hopefully, you know, it gets on radio. But I'm not that guy. You know, I know guys that are like that, that have had a lot more success than I've had, and that their minds work that way. And I'm glad they do, you know, but for me, it's always been just write for the sake of the idea and whatever the song wants to be that day. If it wants to be a waltz, I'll write a waltz with you. If it wants to be a shuffle, I'll write a shuffle with you.
Sure.
If it wants to be a pop ballad, then hey, man, if that's the way we got to go, if that's the feeling in the room, let's do it. But So, yeah, I mean, there's songs that I've written that I know there's no chance in hell they'll ever be hits on the radio, and that's fine. It does not discourage me at all from writing a song. It's, you know, there's songs that the funny thing to me growing up, some of my favorite country songs were the songs that weren't on the radio. They were songs on those albums and records and tapes and stuff that I gravitated towards and loved. And
yeah, man,
never made its way to country radio, but they turned me on to the artist and really were some of my favorite songs. So, I mean, you know, if I write songs that end up being album cuts, I'm okay with that. I mean, sure. Just cut the song. Along the way, I'll have some radio songs as well. But I'm sure I've got lots of songs that I know deep in my heart will never have a chance to see country radio or be, you know, successful as airplay songs, but still will get cut at some point, hopefully, and be on a record to where, you know, some guy in New Jersey will go, "Hey man, I love that song. That song is
my favorite." I promise you, that guy's probably me. I promise you, probably me. Listen, it's all music all the time in my ear.
I love that, man. So, I appreciate you being that way, man. And appreciate what you're doing.
There's nothing else that gets me out of bed. I promise you that. This is what gets me out of bed, and I'm happy it does. And I love to hear you say that. No matter what, like, you love doing it. And even if they don't get cut, you still love them, because that's what makes your song so great. Right. Because at the end of the day, the ones that do get cut, you know, they're going to shine through and touch people because of the fact that even the ones that they might be some of the best songs that no one's ever heard. Right.
Right.
But they're still so great. And it just doesn't work for the artists, and maybe it doesn't work for the project or the time period. I don't know, whatever it might be. They're just still so great. And I think it's so great that, you know, even if they don't go, like, you know, and you're proud of those songs that may not have gotten bites. And you know, you're not just writing a song because you think it might hit radio, because, you know, that's not why you do it. You do it because you love to do it, and everything else comes afterwards, and it's a bonus.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, when we play now, I mean, there's the songwriters I play with, you know, I mean, everybody wants to hear the hits, of course. Yeah. You show up, sure, do a songwriter's round, whether you're playing at the Bluebird or a corporate event or whatever, they want to hear those things. But man, every now and then you get the opportunity to play a song and go, "Look, I'm just going to play this song because I love it. And it's not been a hit. Maybe it hadn't been cut or whatever, or maybe it just got cut and it's coming out." But it's funny to me that, and I see this so often, that after those shows, the songs that people want to talk to you about are not the songs that were hits that you played. They want to talk to you about that song that you played because you wrote it about your mom, or you wrote it about, you know, your dad, or whatever the instance is. You're like, "Hey, I just want to play this song because it means a lot to me." And it's whatever, if it's, you know, you're playing an event for the military or whatever, you want to play the song. And it's always songs like that that people go, "Oh man, I love, you know, oh gosh, we sang along so much to Heartache on the Dance Floor," or whatever that song is. But man, that other song you played, that's the one I want to talk to you. And it happens all the time, because I just feel like people, they want to connect, man. Mm-hmm. Music is living to people, and they just want to connect and be connected with. And man, that's our job. I mean, that's what we do every day, is try to put a little bit of ourselves in a song that connects with people, because people just want to know they're not alone. You know, right, they've got a broken heart, or they've been through something horrible. They want to know they're not the only one that ever felt that way.
Damn straight.
And it helps, man. Music is a healer, you know. Right. I mean, it's helped me through a ton of stuff and in life as well. And I love it when people, you know, they say, "Oh my gosh, man, that song helped me so much when this happened," or, "Man, when we graduated, that was our song for our class," or what, you know, whatever it is. It's always fun to be a part of that.
Right. Music is two things to me, right? Music, like, literally exactly what you said. Music is living, and music heals. God only knows how many times music got me out of a bad place or a bad situation, or you know, wasn't feeling too hot or whatever. God only knows how many times that happened. And that's why it's so great. It's always there, even when no one's there. And I think that's incredibly important.
That's great. That's a good saying. It's always there, even when no one's there. That's a great saying, Kyle. That's
the way
really
I do
cool.
it. It's the way I do it, my friend. I listen, if you can tell right now, my jaw and my smile is hurting because I've been smiling so much, because it's surreal to hear your perspective. And as a guy who, I say this all the time, as a guy who can't play, who can't sing, but just loves to kind of live through the storytellers, you are a driver of these songs. You are the heartbeat of these songs. And, that's why this stuff is so great. And that's why I love it. That's why so many people, you know, around the country, around the world love it. So I thank you for doing what you do. And I think that it's incredible.
Oh man, I appreciate it, buddy. Shoot. Yeah. Thank you.
No thanks needed. I just listen, I'm ecstatic that I've been able to pick your brain for the last hour or so and talk to you and hear these stories and you know, something I'll remember for a long time. So I do appreciate it. Thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Absolutely, Kyle. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate what you're doing and thanks for asking me to do it.
Of course. Anytime. Please come back. Let me know. I'm always around.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I'd love to. I'd love it.
Everybody, you can go follow Bryce on Instagram at Bryce Long Songs and stay up to date with everything there and announcements and you know, where he's playing rounds and things like that. You can go follow us on Instagram if you want at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Pods, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's all there. Go share it with your friends and do all the good stuff. I'm going to keep sitting here and talking about the stuff I love, because I love it. And that's just basically it. But everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode. And keep tuning in. Thanks so much. That's Bryce Long. I'm Kyle Corbus. See you next week. Bye-bye.